This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Float Chart with your boy.
My boy.
Matt Wolf.
And Joe Fit.
Hey.
Yo.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's doing well. Doing well today. Thanks. And today we had a pretty eye-opening interview, I would say.
Yeah. You should really stop closing your eyes during podcasts.
I know. It just... I don't know. It works. You know, it makes me feel like we're actually in the room together. We do all these remote.
That's true.
So even though this time actually Justin, our guest, Justin Brooke, was podcasting from his car.
He was.
So I was envisioning us all just hanging out in his car.
Yeah.
Just podcasting.
We were sitting in the back seat. He was in the front seat.
But it was eye-opening. And then I realized, oh, we're actually remote.
Yeah. So yeah, when you finally eye-opened? When you finally opened your eyes, you're like, oh, shit, we're not in his car.
Yeah, yeah. But still cool anyway. Great conversation. So today we're talking to Justin Brooke.
Yeah. We cover quite a bit of ground. So he's sort of got the digital nomad lifestyle going on. He's been traveling now for, what do you say, 4 years?
Four or five, yeah.
Yeah. So
he's been everywhere.
He's been traveling around. He sold his house in Florida and has just been on the move for like 4 years straight. So we talked about that sort of nomadic lifestyle that he has. We talked about why he likes Google ads so much more than Facebook ads. And then we actually got him to dive in on like his strategy behind Google ads and combining it with Facebook ads to have the sort of most effective traffic strategy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was referencing, the eye-opening part, because I was like, damn, it's so easy. Like the way that he'll lay out the framework, it's very simple to follow. It's very simple to understand. And the key point that he said is like, you know, this is literally what I use for everything.
Yeah.
So even a brand new beginner can try and experiment with some Google and Facebook ads together with content.
Mm-hmm.
But also a pro marketer can do this, but then light even more gasoline on the system and get a lot more results, you know, with more experience. So
yeah,
super cool.
Yeah.
That's coming up.
Yeah, it's an awesome episode, and he breaks down this traffic strategy, and you know, I'm kind of excited to go and play with this traffic strategy myself a little bit.
Well, Justin's the man, yeah. With he's like a marketer through and through.
Mm-hmm.
He's had an amazing backstory, like in what brought him to this point. He actually talks about starting from scratch all over again because mm-hmm. kind of like us, I feel like. I know we've all reinvented ourselves a mm-hmm. lot in our business, and we ask him about that. And he actually gives some pointers on if he were to do it again, the exact game plan he was doing or he would do and he has done to get to where he's at multiple times.
Yeah. And we have a little bit of a history with Justin. We go way back with him, and in a roundabout way, he is a piece of why we got into internet marketing. Mm. He is like he's a piece of our story, and we'll get into that. But he is part of the reason we do what we do now. You know, a course that he was promoting in the past was a course that we actually bought off of him as an affiliate, and that led us down a different path from the path that we were on at the time.
Well, dude, we were just talking about honoring people.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great time to honor Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even realize it actually until we were in mid conversation. You hear the point when Matt actually brings us up, but he was an affiliate for a course that got us started.
Yeah.
And big gratefulness to Justin for promoting that, even though he obviously didn't know us at the time. If it wasn't for that, that was a massive, massive, massive catalyst for both of us to not only transition from our day jobs, for me to actually quit. You quit too, but it was a little different scenario.
Yeah.
Forced out. But like that literally changed the trajectory of our lives, and we wouldn't be here. At least I don't think we would be if it wasn't for probably making that decision to buy from Justin and continue doing the work. Like,
yeah,
super cool.
I also want to
give props there.
We actually didn't mention her in the episode, but I also want to give some props to Chana, his wife, because back in the early days, we bought a course from him around like flipping websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had a question about one of the processes, and I asked the question on Facebook, and within like 20 minutes of asking the question, Justin's wife was on there responding, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I wasn't actually expecting a response. Like at the time, you know, they were the sort of gurus in my mind, and I was thinking, like, I'm going to post this and put it out there, but I wasn't really, I don't know, I don't know why, but I wasn't really expecting much of a response, and she responded so quickly, and I thought, like, okay, this is, like, how business online needs to be done. You sell people good stuff, and then you actually freaking support them after you sell them that good stuff, and they're just phenomenal at that ongoing support after you purchase something. So I know, like, you know, Shauna wasn't mentioned on the episode, but I just wanted to give her a shout out in the intro.
That's a good shout out because, yeah, that we take a lot of that into this business as well. We try to be as personable as possible and start conversations and support. And we've been told that too with the personalized videos we might send or some response on Facebook about whatever.
Yeah.
So, big props to the Brooke crew.
For sure. So, and you know what? This is going to be one that they're going to want the notes on.
You damn right it will be.
I want the notes on this one, damn it.
Why wouldn't you? He's literally giving a three-step process to kick off traffic to an offer. And, you know, it's basically like, I don't think we even specifically said this, but it's basically the way that he gets, looks like 10,000 leads per day through Google and using some Facebook in there too. But you need the notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, not only a three-step process to drive ad traffic through Facebook, but he also gives you a process for if you're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understate like how, like we did, it wasn't a huge long discussion, but there was a portion in there where Joe, I think, asked like, if you were starting from scratch, what's your process? Because you've sort of reinvented multiple times. And he literally broke down like, here's what you do if you're starting from scratch and you need to gain some traction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just brilliant. So much good stuff. So much stuff that you're going to want to get the notes. You're going to want to listen to this episode. And then after you listen to this episode, you're going to grab the notes. And we actually have two ways now.
We're experimenting.
Yes. There's actually two different ways that you can access these notes for this episode. Number one's the normal way. Go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp.
Yes, it is.
COMP.
So use that old browser of yours and type in with your fingies, hustleandflowchart.com/COMP.
Yeah. And then the other way, this is our new experimental way. So if you want to see some cool shit,
drum roll,
you can actually text us now. Yeah. If you text the word comp, COMP, to 38470.
That is 38470.
38470. Text comp to that number, COMP. And we'll hook you up with the notes that way too.
Mm-hmm. And but be quick, and this is the key thing, just so you are absolutely aware, is if you're listening to this within the 1 to 2 week time period that this thing goes live, is you will get the notes for free for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's why texting comp to 38470 or going to hustleandflowchart.com/comp gets you these notes like within that window. But after that period of time, they do go away because we actually have that physical newsletter we send out.
Yep.
That is the coveted letter. That's our vault. And you get everything, which it's very, very, very inexpensive.
Yeah.
At least for now. So, and I probably will be, but either way, just get the comp. If you're after, just still get the comp, get some cool notes, but maybe just consider just getting on that $15 a month thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I said inexpensive. Well, I just gave it away. $15 a month. Yeah. And you get everything. So come on.
Hustleandflowchart.com/comp or text the word comp to 38470. Go do one of those. Please. And we're going to hook you up.
Thank you very much. And this is going to be a fun episode. So I hope you enjoy.
Let's go talk to Justin Brooke.
Yo, Justin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. Yeah, I know you're doing some big things over there and working from your car, I guess. It sounds like. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, the travel life, man. The travel life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is actually the third time I've interviewed you in the last 10 years or so. I think I interviewed you back in like 2010 on my Business and Blogs podcast. And I think Josh Bartlett and I interviewed you for our Beyond the Hype podcast,
yes,
like
yes,
5 years ago or
that.
Something. So, and always one of my favorite interviewees, favorite people to talk to. But I think how Joe and I first got connected with you, and I know this is something you're not involved in anymore, but you had a site about flipping websites.
Yeah.
That's way back.
What was
site,
that called?
It was called Site Fling.
Site Fling, yeah.
Well, it was actually Site Flip Academy. I sold that to Russell, and then I didn't have anything going on, so I did it. I built a new one called Website Flipping Masters, which was like about bigger level flips. And ended up selling that one to Russell again. And then he put in terms. He's like, you can't do this again.
I love it. You find a buyer and you're like, what else you want, bro?
Right.
That's smart.
Yeah, if you count those sales, then technically Russell is like my biggest customer by far.
You just nurture that relationship.
That's awesome. You could just start a whole business of creating products to sell to Russell.
Right. And Site Fling was really just my blog, and I ended up talking a lot about website flipping, you know, but I talked about a lot of internet marketing stuff too. But yeah, Site Fling was back in the days, man. That was probably my real start. Like, it was fun days.
Yeah, they were. And that definitely opened our eyes to opportunities. I think that was like the shift in Matt and I's thinking of online assets. Like, actually, you can create something like real estate, but online. You know, you can flip, you could doctor something up, you can build a ton of value, and there's a market for it, you know, and there was a lot of ways he taught around that. So appreciate you that. But yeah, man, like traffic and all that, that's where we've really been following you now.
Yeah.
Google ads, Facebook stuff, the pros and the cons, of course.
Yeah. I want to get into the traffic stuff, but yeah. I think before we do, you know, Joe kind of mentioned you're recording from your car. I'm curious, what are you doing? Because I know at some point you kind of packed up shop, packed up your home base and just hit the road. So how did that whole thing come about?
We've been traveling for the last 4 years.
Wow.
You know, October of 2015 was when we left our house, and I remember my mom was so mad at me because I wasn't letting the kids experience a normal Halloween. However, by the way, in case anybody doesn't know, shopping plazas do Halloween, and my kids made out like bandits at a shopping plaza. You know, they were like the only kids there, and so every company was, oh, well, we have a whole bowl and nobody comes by, so raw here.
Love it.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, I've been traveling for the last 4 years. We've been everywhere. I mean, Jamaica, Haiti, Bali, Australia. Been to the Chinese airport, but nowhere else.
Yeah.
All over the United States. I mean, we're only missing like 4 or 5 of the states, and they're the ones that are really extreme. You know, Alaska, Hawaii, Montana, North Dakota. I'm probably never going to North Dakota. Sorry if you're listening from North Dakota.
Hit up Montana, though, man. That Montana is amazing.
Yeah, I got to do Montana.
And Hawaii's worth it, too.
Well, given.
Yeah.
Are you, what are you, RVing around right now?
We're not RVing. We did RV for a while. However, the RV is stationary. It was a 42-foot long RV. Mm. We loved it. We did it for a whole year. It just got to be a lot to drive around. So they actually have a Uber for like RVs and semis and things like that. So you can actually call someone to come pick up your RV and drive it somewhere and park it for you. And so we were in Texas and we were just done. We were just so tired of mapping out the routes and everything. And so, yeah, we found this company and I think it was called U-Ship, and they have basically guys with a pickup truck and a license. They'll just come by, pick up your RV. And so we sent it up to our favorite RV park up in Alex Bay, New York. It's called Swan Bay Resort.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little expensive, but man, is it just a great place. They got everything. And so we leave it there all year long. They're only open 5 months of the year, but we leave it there all year long.
Dude, that's love cool. It.
So how has it been, you know, obviously, you've got kind of an internet-based business. How has it been with varying internet connections all over the world?
Wi-Fi is my nemesis.
I can see that.
Yeah, I have thrown money at the problem. I've researched I've literally gone into learning Wi-Fi at like the science and engineering level of how Wi-Fi works, trying to get better Wi-Fi. And it really comes down to, if there is not a strong base signal, it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have at least a strong base signal, and you can carry that thing 12 miles. Actually, most people don't know that you can. If you got a line of sight, you can catch a Wi-Fi signal 12 miles away.
Whoa,
with
damn.
The right antenna.
Whoa.
So yeah, it just comes down to, like, you know, right now I'm outside of a library. Most people, they go to Starbucks. The thing about working at Starbucks is you got to fight for a spot.
Mm-hmm.
The spots are not that comfortable unless you get one of the good spots. And then if you stay there too long, they start looking at you sideways. You know,
That's true.
So I started, we started going to like McDonald's and Burger King's, and they were like, welcome to have you there. And they didn't care because nobody else was there. Sometimes you meet a couple cool older gentlemen, you know, veterans in the army, and they tell you cool stories. But then we found libraries. Libraries is the secret, man. They have good Wi-Fi, big tables. They want you to be there for a long time. They have plenty of plugs. They got books if you want to go and research something. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time at libraries, man. That's the hidden secret, I think.
Yeah,
that's,
and libraries, too. Like, a lot of them have little conference rooms that you can go, like, check out for a few hours. So if you're trying to meet up with somebody for a couple hours, you can go check out a conference room. Joe and I used to do that when we had friends come to town that wanted to meet for business. We'd go to a library, check out a conference room, and meet with them in the conference room for 3 hours.
I've shot in course videos in conference rooms at libraries. You know,
I was going to say
I'll walk right in there with my tripod and my camera set up, and you know, they got a whiteboard, and I'm good to go.
That's the thing, man. You don't need money for all that stuff. I mean, you just get a library pass and go anywhere, and like you said, whiteboard. Yeah. They don't care if you're making noise in there. Book off the time. Smart, man. How does that – because I know – let's see. Like recently, I think you made a post, and this was – it kind of caught fire on Facebook. You were talking about how I think you had some kind of mental shift of just taking your business to the next level. And I believe it got the attention of like just a ton of people, Roland Frazier and our buddy James Schramko as well.
The $10 million post.
Yeah, that is it has a title now. Mm-hmm. How does that like how does that look in this kind of, it seems like a lifestyle business you have? I know you're doing amazing, huge things though. So it's an interesting balance you're doing.
Wish I had never wrote that post.
What is this?
Being behind the scenes of that post. Okay, so first it scared the bejesus out of my team. Oh, like, here, you know, AdSkills is pretty new. You know, it's only 2-3 years old, and we've grown it kind of slow. We had some hiccups, you know, but we finally crossed the seven-figure line. You know, we made $1 million in a year, and we were very happy about that. We were all congratulating. And then, like, 2 months later, without really thinking about my team, I made this post, you know, just because I knew it was going to be a good post when I thought of the idea. Didn't think it through any farther, and my team was like, what? 10 million? Like, can we just celebrate the million? You know? you want us to do 10 times the work? You know, that's all they heard. It was like, it was going to be 10 times the work. Mm. And and then a lot of my friends, you know, got to me, and some bigger guys, you know, a lot of the bigger guys, like you said, you know, people that have done the 10 million, 100 million, had a guy close to $1 billion, you know, spoke to me and said, be careful what you're wishing for here, because a bigger business, they all kind of reminded me that, and I don't mean that, I feel awkward saying this, but they said I had the golden ticket. And I now realize that I do, that I have a business that pays me great money. You know, I'm not hurting for money. I can travel. I can spend time with my kids. I still own the whole business, so I can make all the decisions. I can, and it's still small enough to where we can adapt to changes very quickly in the marketplace. And so a lot of the veterans reached out to me and they were like, man, I would almost give my life to have the business you have. Where I was kind of like almost the same thing, like saying, I would give my life to have the business you would have. But they really got on to me about that. And then, you know, with speaking with my team and with speaking with some of these bigger guys, you know, I said, okay, well, I still think 10 million is a goal. I think we can get there, but why don't we stop by 2 million first?
Yeah, smart. Just double it. That's, you know, all. Yeah,
it's on the way to 10 million's house. Yeah, so we'll stop over at 2 million and we'll double the company, and that'll be good enough for now. And then we'll get there when we get there. But yeah. We're in no rushes anymore. We're doing really well. The team is just, you know, we finally have the right people in the right seats, and we're gelling, and the culture is building, and we all love each other. And, you know, like we're just having a really good time right now. The customers are happy, so we're not trying to rush it. It is still a goal, but we're not trying to get there anytime fast.
Yeah. I love it. And yeah. Thanks for being honest too about that. Because yeah, there's always a story, of course, behind posts. Most people don't. I mean, your posts are fucking amazing, by the way. So
thanks,
like,
thanks.
Yeah, everyone should follow you on Facebook at a minimum. Like,
just the post you made the other day about why aren't more companies sort of trying to model Agora. That thread ended up with like
that thing riled people up, man.
That thing had hundreds of comments, and I think I read every single one of them. I'm just like, this is like, there's like so much wisdom just in some of these Facebook threads. Somehow you have this way of posting questions, or you know, getting people to just like blow up with interaction around the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so like I save like most of your posts on Facebook and check back to them just because I know like you're just getting such high quality responses. I mean, you had Fernando Cruz on there who is involved with Agora, basically giving hints into why the Agora's model is the way it is. And I'm just like, I was blown away by it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
For sure, man. Well, let's take a quick step back, just so if anyone listening doesn't know who you are, give them like a, I don't want to go too crazy deep on this thing because we got a lot of cool tactics, talk about Google Ads, some traffic stuff. I know you worked at Wendy's way back in the day.
Did your research.
Yeah, man. I mean, I did the Burger King route for a little bit, so we've been there. But what got you into the whole marketing game, and tell a little backstory there.
So I was working in construction and Wendy's, and I worked at Hooters for a little bit. Ooh. The shorts were not my style, but no, I'm kidding.
You look great in tights. Yeah.
I was a dishwasher at Hooters. I really couldn't keep a job, and I didn't know at the time. You know, I won awards in school for marketing. You know, there's an organization called DECA. I was reading all the time. Like I hated that they would like make me do book reports when I was like, I just read four other books. Like I just get, and so like nobody kind of caught on that, hey, maybe this kid's an entrepreneur, like he could sell, he reads, and he won this marketing competition. So let's give him entrepreneur classes. But regardless, I didn't discover that until way later in my career. I was just tired of sweating. To be honest, I lived in Florida and worked construction. Mm. And when I say worked construction, I didn't have skills. So that meant that I was the guy that dug the holes. I was the guy that moved the cinder blocks over 10 feet because the boss wanted them in this spot instead of that spot. And
you were laboring. So, yeah, I did that same. Yeah. I did that for a good year and a half, man. So I know where you're at.
And then I saw a sales ad. In Craigslist, and I went there. It was a total boiler room operation. I mean, I think they do criminal checks, just to find who is a criminal. They would let us bring alcohol to the job. But it gave me my first taste of sales. I went on to a legitimate company after that. While I was there. I started as a dialer, and I got to hear these guys on the phone making money. And I was like, they're literally like pulling money out of thin air. Mm. They put the phone on their ear. There was no money. They hang up. There is money. I was like, holy crap. I want that. I want to do that. Right. And it didn't involve sweating. And that was cool too. So I went and read a whole bunch of books about it and proved to the boss that I could do it, moved up to a closer. Then realized I was working for like an illegal company, got out of there before it all blew up and went to a legit company. And I won all kinds of awards because I was like the only sales guy there that actually read books about sales. And I was now selling for a legitimate organization. While there, I wasn't making great money. I was doing great, sales wise, but I was still an employee. And, the boss, every day he would bring in a lemon pepper chicken for lunch, and I would have a ramen noodle soup every day. I don't know how this guy ate a lemon pepper. One day I swore I was going to eat a lemon pepper chicken every day for lunch. I tried it. I only lasted like 4 days. Like it's nasty.
Interesting. Okay.
It's really good for 2 days. The third day you start questioning it. The fourth day you're done.
But ramen's totally fine every day.
Right, ramen's totally fine. And my boss, my old boss, Richard Kahn, he's a savage for being able to eat lemon pepper chicken every day. But so they, and what I saw back then, I was so young. I mean, I'm talking, I was like in my early 20s at this time. And all I saw was he came in, he turned on the lights, and then I saw him eat a lemon pepper chicken later on in the day. I never saw him do anything else. And all I saw was me and the sales guys, we were making all the money. So I was like, I could be a business owner. I can turn on the lights. I can eat a lemon pepper chicken, you know. Now as a business owner, I realized he was doing all these other things like signing our paychecks and taxes and hiring and legal and all these things.
Yeah.
So while I was there, I used my sales skills to – I cracked open a yellow book, you know, the phone book, and I just cold pitched companies on web design.
Wow.
Because I knew like four lines of HTML. I was going to start a web design agency.
Were you just itching? You were just itching to try this stuff out for yourself.
I was. And that was when, you know, it was along those same times that I kind of bumped into Russell Brunson and people that like had websites that made money. I didn't know that it was like called internet marketing yet or make money online or anything. I referred to it as I want a website that pays my bills.
Perfect.
And yeah. And so when I interned with Russell, I was like, hey, can you teach me how to have a website that pays my bills? And he was like, yes, I can do that. So that's where all that started.
Wow. So Russell, it's interesting how that came kind of full circle. You were talking about Russell selling companies to him, multiple right. now, and like he was one of the big catalysts to get you in the mix of the making money online thing.
Yeah, it actually just
he was.
Yeah,
it just dawned on me as you were kind of giving that explanation. The very first online course that I ever bought, this was in I think 2008-ish, was a course by a guy named Alex Jeffries. And I'm pretty sure I bought it through your affiliate link.
I think you're right.
Could have been. I wasn't an affiliate for him back then.
that kicked it off for both of us.
We were kind of doing some stuff on the side, like, you know, working our day job, working on some stuff in the evenings, but we never actually spent money to like invest in our business. And the first time we decided, you know what, let's get a coach, let's get a mentor to help us out, it was Alex. And I'm pretty sure you shared something on Twitter, and I was following you on Twitter at the time, and that's how we got into this world.
So. Yeah, you told me, Matt, and I was like, let's do it. So thanks, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sweet. And so, yeah, you did all this stuff, and now, you know, we talked about SiteFling and all that cool stuff. Now you have ad skills and, DMBI online?
Right. Yeah, well, it used to be DMBI.
It used to be ad skills. Gotcha.
Yeah. Nobody could ever remember if it was DBMI or DIBM or whatever.
Like, so say, what?
We paid a shop to kind of come up with a better name for us, and they presented ad skills to us, and it had all the social media available, and the domain was available. It was pretty cheap. I think it was like $3,000 or something. It was not that much, but it was a great brand, you know. So to kind of cover the gap a little bit, you know, when I interned with Russell, I used my sales skills to intern with Russell. My job was to go through his $250,000 marketing library. It was literally a giant walk-in closet of every possible course, seminar, recording, DVDs, books. I mean, wealth building, day trading, everything was in there. Everything you ever wanted to learn about making money and marketing and business was in this closet. And for whatever reason, I picked Google Ads as the thing of everything I can learn in there. And I did. I learned a lot of it. And I got the education of a lifetime as an intern. My job was to actually write affiliate review articles, you know, bringing it full circle to promoting Alex Jeffries as an affiliate. And my job was to write affiliate review articles for him so he could make money back off these courses. But I got the, you know, education of a lifetime. And for me, it was Google Ads. So of all the things that really stuck out, there was a little course there by a guy named John Barker. I don't give him enough credit. I should definitely talk about him more. John Barker's course. I don't know if it's available anymore. But, you know, I know he does stuff still. He's a total G. So I learned these Google Ads. I go home, put together a pathetic little $2 a day campaign because I was still broke. It was an unpaid internship. I was, you know, rich in the mind, but broke in the pocket. And I, you know, started this little $2 a day campaign and doubled my money the first month. And every month after that for 11 months, I had a six-figure career, six-figure business. And from there, you know, I had sold my website a few times. Like I said, I sold that second one to Russell. Mm-hmm. Turns out after you sell a business, you got to buy another one. Otherwise, you will run out of money.
That's right. Taxes.
Oh, yeah. I learned that after I just like all of a sudden one day there was only $1,000 left in the bank. And I was like, hey, this thing's not refilling itself anymore. I got to build a business here. That's when I went into work for Rich Sheffrin.
Yeah.
Because I was broke.
you got to work with, though.
Yeah. So I had run out of money, but I had a list and I had these skills. And so he paid me to be his traffic guy. We did a couple like on and off things. And then he paid me to be his traffic guy. And that was when like I started the agency. Because once I was Rich Sheffrin's traffic guy, and now is the first time I actually had like a serious budget and great products and, you know, Rich Sheffrin's pedigree behind it. And it really allowed me to master the craft. I had learned the craft, but then this let me really master it and, you know, become who I am today. And once I was his traffic guy, everybody wanted me to be their traffic guy. And I just didn't say no. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I had an agency. And then, you know, today I switched from having an agency to AdSkills. You know, we now train over 11,000 ad buyers on helping them have agencies or helping them do paid ads for business owners.
Gotcha. So there's no agency element anymore.
No agency element. I do a little consulting. I always try to have one client in the background just so that like I'm still in the game. I feel like I owe that to my customers, that I'm not just teaching, that I still have one foot in the game and I can still talk about things and show cool screenshots. You know, I always keep one client, but yeah, other than that, nothing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. We interviewed Billy Jean, I don't know, probably, it's probably been a year ago now, but when we interviewed him, he said kind of the same thing. He's like, I'm always going to have at least a teeny tiny bit of an agency, one or two clients, just because it's better to learn with other people's money.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and like you said, yeah, it keeps you fresh. You know, it keeps you like kind of more motivated to stay on top of the new happenings wherever on the channels, and it's smart. And what I gathered from what you just like kind of pieced in that little timeline there is you've had to start and like restart a lot in business.
Oh, it sounds big
like.
Time.
Yeah, and we
I've
can
lost
relate.
It all three times. Wow. Well, twice, because I'm on my third climb and I'm doing pretty well at this climb. I feel very strong.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're obviously, it feels like you've been growing each time and you're staying in a similar vein. Like, do you think that's a big part of your success? Is this kind of just, it's like evolution every, I don't know how many years, if you have like a cadence.
Know, it's two things. So the reason I fell, you know, I guess whatever you want to call it,
sure.
You know, the reason I fell both times was I just couldn't put together a team. And so I would build this thing up, you know, on my back until I couldn't carry it on my back anymore, basically. You know, hard work alone just only takes you too far. And then, you know, you find yourself only sleeping 3 hours a night. And, you know, so, but the other thing about falling is, you know, now that I've, you know, lost it all twice and come back for my third time and doing better than ever, I'm just not afraid of the failure anymore. Like, I've been there. I'm very comfortable with it. I know exactly what I literally have like a playbook for. If I go back to the bottom, okay, first thing we're going to do is we're going to do this. You know, like I have it systemized.
Yeah.
And so I'm not afraid anymore. And so that helps me because I can make my decisions without the fear and the anxiety. And then also really, I really feel like I've broken the code or whatever.
I'm really curious, like what would that
on team building?
Yeah, like what would be like in sharing it here with folks if you don't mind, like what would be your first handful of steps if you had to just start all over again? As you've done it before and you keep getting better, it sounds like.
So step number one, work for somebody for free. You know, I did it with Russell.
Yep.
I did it with Rich. I've done it with some other guys. You know, so we, you know, and some people don't like working for free. Look, if you can sell it, great, do it. You know, but sometimes when you're at the bottom, it's a little hard to kind of ask for full payment.
Yep.
And so, you know, my protocol is find somebody to work for free so that I can get a case study, make a real sexy case study and a lead gen page, and start leveraging that case study.
Mm. Lead gen, I love it, man, because we've done that same approach and it works so well.
Yeah.
It is,
I wouldn't say we always did it methodically. We've had a lot of big name people that we've helped for free and then, you know, realized 2 years later how it paid off, but didn't know exactly how it was going to pay off in the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
But the, you know, lead gen, using that case study, their credibility, you know, having them maybe send some referrals. I mean, that can kickstart everything and more for a solid business.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. It takes you from no clients to four clients for sure. I mean, it ain't going to take you to Gary V level stardom, but it'll take you from zero to four clients. And once you're at four clients, now you got kind of a foundation. You got some money in your pockets. You can start doing other things. You know, the pressure's off. You know, and then now you can really start doing marketing and growing.
Yeah, that's good. It.
So, all right, I'm going to sort of shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about Google Ads. I know that you have a definite preference for Google Ads over Facebook Ads. So let's kind of start there. What do you see as like the sort of pros and cons of Google versus Facebook?
I'm glad you asked this question. And everyone always thinks when they hear my story, they're like, "Oh, well, you started with Google Ads. Of course, he's a Google Ads guy." No, it's not that. Yeah, like, if something was better, I would be all over it. But Google Ads is bigger in every way: in market cap, in total impression size, in employees, in revenue, like in every metric that you can measure two companies against each other. Google, it wins.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then the bigger thing is it's about intent. Okay. When someone is on Facebook and sees a Facebook ad, they're not searching for that thing that the ad is.
Mm-hmm.
They are that person. They are interested in those things. Like, you know, I'm sure all of us on this call right now, we are interested in CRMs.
Mm-hmm.
We're interested in Gary Vaynerchuk or Grant Cardone. You know, like, we have these interests, but when we're scrolling through our feed, we're not necessarily thinking, you know, when I'm flicking through Facebook, I'm not thinking find a CRM, you know, like I'm not thinking that way. But when I go to Google or when I make a search in YouTube, there's an intent behind it. I'm purposefully trying to solve a problem. I am in that problem and education and service acquisition mode. That making sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're in the mode. Your thinking patterns aligned with the medium that you're surfing on.
Right, and so that's the spine of Google. What they've really built themselves on that's different from Facebook. Facebook's got a lot of its own great features. They're probably the best retargeting platform ever. The best lookalike platform ever. Really good there. However, when it comes to intent, Google has them beat because that's just what they built themselves on. Even their display channel. So you have Google Search, which is the keywords.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Google, you type in something, you see some relevant ads right there. Then you have Google Display, which is banner ads out on all the websites. But you can target those. Like, one time I was working for a client and she sold this really high-end freeze-dried puppy food. And we were able to find targets in Google Display where we were targeting pet owners on pages about pet food.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And then we just put a negative search for cats.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we just started rolling out anything that was about cats. So now it was only for puppies, you know. And so the level of contextual targeting, meaning the context that you are targeting them, it blows away everything else. And I've run thousands of ad campaigns. We manage over 11,000 ad buyers in Ad Skills. I mean, I've really done this game at a high level, and you just can't beat that level of context and intent that you get with Google Search, Display, and YouTube.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. We run some Google ads too. And as from an ROI standpoint, our Google ads blow away our Facebook ads. But I feel like the general consensus of most people is that Google ads are more expensive. You know, a lot of people are really focused on that sort of cost per click number. And so a lot of people see Google ads as a lot more expensive. And then also, I think a lot of people also see it as just a more complicated process to set up. And I think that's just, you know, probably people that haven't gotten in to experiment with it, because over the years, Google's made it pretty damn simple to turn on your first ad. But I feel like the general consensus is it's more expensive and more complicated.
I will say it is more complicated. It is definitely, because it's a bigger network, because you have more controls, it is a bit like walking up to the pilot's section and sitting in front of the cockpit and not really knowing what buttons do what. It's overwhelming when you first get in there. However, it's also the ad network that is the biggest reward for the effort. If you do just take the weekend, you know, let's be honest, it really doesn't take that much to learn the interface. We've all done it for every new software that comes out, ActiveCampaign and this and that and whatever. You know, we've all taken the time. And if you take the weekend or the week to just dive in and really immerse yourself and learn what the buttons are, you'll find that it's actually very similar to Facebook. I mean, you have, instead of custom audiences, you have similar audiences. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have... you know, images are the same thing. You know, in Facebook, they're a little different, but we still have images. We still have a description, just like you have images and a description in a Facebook ad. They just, in Google, you put the image at the top, and the description at the bottom, where on Facebook, the description's at the top and the image is at the bottom, you know? So it's very similar, but you just got to get to learn it. The other one, you said it was just more expensive and harder to use. It is harder to use, but you can learn it quickly. The expensive thing is an old stigma, and it comes from every guru talking about how expensive it is per click for certain keywords. Yes, if you're trying to target cosmetic surgeons in West Palm Beach, Florida, your cost per clicks are going to be nuts. However, what the other story they don't tell, the reason why the cost per click is so high is because there's so much money to be made off of that keyword. You know, if you are a cosmetic surgeon in West Palm Beach, one customer is worth like 10 grand to you. So $31 per click isn't so bad. There's a context to it. But then that's also like everybody points to that one example. There are millions of keywords, brand new keywords. This is not me talking. This is not theory. This is a verifiable fact that you can go and Google and research. There are millions of new keywords being created every year.
I'm sure there's like trends and things you can, you know, do a lot of research and figure out, identify some of these keywords you could take advantage of that maybe just haven't been discovered.
A good example is how to gain TikTok followers. That keyword did not exist a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so the competition, well, I tell you what, it's probably going to get pretty hard pretty soon on a keyword like that, just based on their growth. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. There are millions of keywords out there that are still only 5 cents per click, 15 cents, 20 cents per click. You don't have to go after the big ones. There's a lot of little ones out there. But then there's also YouTube. YouTube is extremely cheap, cost per view. I was advertising a 55-minute long video ad that the Google people themselves, the ad rep, was telling me, do not do it. That's the stupidest thing we've ever heard. We tell people to keep it under 30 seconds. So I put a 55-minute long YouTube ad up, and I was getting 100% watches, full watches, for $1.50.
Wow,
that's you think insane. They're engaged and going to take action at the end of that or any?
Oh, you can, right? I don't think you can get 100% view on a 55-minute video for that cheap on Facebook right now, and video views on Facebook are cheap right now too.
Good point.
Right, right, yeah. So we took this client, you know, so a lot of webinar people are putting their webinar right onto YouTube ads because instead of paying for the click and then paying for the registration and then the attendance. You know, like by the time you get to the attendance rate, you're actually at like $30.
Wow.
If we do all the math, mm-hmm. right? You know, you get like $1 per click,
yep.
and then only 15 out of 100 register. You know, so like you get to about $30 by the time they're actually watching the webinar. You put that webinar right in a YouTube ad. Now you're at $1.50 per attendee.
Yeah, that's so smart.
I love it. I think
I'm going to credit my buddy Kurt Molly on that one. He's the one who showed me that trick.
Dude, I was just about to say, I'm like, we had Kurt on here and he was talking about doing that on Facebook with full webinars. Yeah. So I love you just wrapped it up full circle there.
Yeah. The other thing.
So like he's a Facebook guy. I'm a Google guy. So right. like when he told me he was doing that on Facebook, I was like, I could do that on Google.
Exactly.
I don't know if this is possible yet, but on YouTube, you know how on Facebook you can actually retarget people based on 25% view, 50% view, 75% view. Is that something you can do with YouTube, or is it something that's like in the works?
That is one of the kryptonites. You found the little hidden spot where Facebook beats Google. We don't have that. That is something I'm very jealous of. I think I heard that it's coming, but all we have is people who watch this video, which is any percentage. I'm sure there is a percentage. I have not looked up what the percentage is, but it's basically anybody who's watched any amount of the video. And then you have similar to watched this video. And both of those are good. We get really good results from both of those. So, but it's not as awesome as Facebook, where you can have a different message for somebody who's only watched 3 seconds versus 25% versus 100%.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think with Google Ads, the thing that still blows me away to this day more than anything is how few people actually bid on their own brand name for search keywords. You know, that's sort of one of my and Joe's little secret trick to being so effective as affiliate marketers is we find products that the actual owner of the product isn't bidding on their own keyword and doesn't have any rules against bidding on their own keyword. And we go and own the front page of Google on their behalf.
it's literally like founding, you know, free money. You know, they're just laying out there and companies are not scooping it up. And so affiliates can come by and go, oh, hey, look at this. There's a money bag here.
100%. You can do that all day long and create a nice little side business there or full business. I'm curious, like, so talking about Google Ads and like, where would you suggest to start, maybe both on like the types of ads? And then I heard you mention an opt-in page. So maybe like what comes after the ad. So, you know, you're not just paying money to just pay money.
Sure. So my kind of like startup recipe for paid traffic, I do it the same no matter what your budget is, because it's totally scalable. It's great for the beginner and it's really good for the expert, because they'll just be able to put more firepower into it. You know, they'll have more gasoline to put into it. So it's branded search, retargeting, and then a content upgrade. So let me unpack that a little bit. Branded search, we were just talking about. It's you're just bidding on your own keywords. You know, so I would bid on Ad Skills, Justin Brooke, John Belcher, any of my instructor names, any of my, you know, my website name, my own name, my product names, you know, bid on your brand terms. And you're not going to pay any money on those, you know, until people are searching for you. So it's a great strategy for starting up, but it's also a really great strategy for established businesses. I made 30 sales a night, 30 sales a day overnight for an Agora company because they weren't doing this.
I believe it.
You know, all their traffic was just going to the homepage. I whipped up a little Google ad and I redirected all of them back to a VSL. You know, they were like, oh, sales. I was like, yeah.
Magic.
So, it works good for both sides of companies. So you do the branded search and that's going to make sure that all the marketing you do later on, It inspires people to Google you. Everything you do, the social media, the word of mouth, the SEO, everything inspires some level of people searching you.
Yeah.
So you want, when they do, you want to have a controllable little device to send them where you want them to go.
So it's like a net. You're just extending the net to try to capture these folks and bring them into your little ecosystem there.
Right, right. And cool. So, because we know that if we set up just regular marketing, like cold marketing, people are going to fall off. You know, right. Not everybody's just going to click and buy, you know, and so we set up these nets for those people that fall off to come back. Mm-hmm. The second net is retargeting. And I'll be honest, I think Facebook is the best for retargeting. You absolutely, if I were, I think it's a mistake that some people are only retargeting on Facebook, but I would say it's a dire mistake if you're not retargeting on Facebook. It is, that is really what it's meant for. They browse the web for something, they go home later on, they're on Facebook. Oh, here's that product I was looking at. I wanted to buy this, but I didn't have my wallet, or I had to wait for and ask my wife permission. Now she's sitting next to me and we can buy this together, whatever. So retargeting is next. You should retarget everywhere because everywhere has pixels.
And that goes back to your intent idea as well, is like the fact that like they've already actively did something with your branded search ad, clicked into that, landed on that whatever page is, and then retargeting, like you said, now the intent's okay because they're already aware of you.
Yeah, it's more of a reminder. They essentially raised their hand from your Google search ad, and now your Facebook ad is just going after the hand raisers.
Well, yes and no. So, you got to remember, some of these people are startups. So their branded search, there may be no branded search yet.
True. Yeah.
And so these are preliminary things, but you're right, because the next step, the third step, is definitely going to be doing exactly what you said. And so retargeting, last thing I want to get across is making sure everybody knows, like, Snapchat has retargeting, Taboola has retargeting, Yahoo has retargeting, Google has retargeting, Twitter has retargeting. You can be retargeting a lot more than just one domain name on the web, which is Instagram or Facebook and Instagram. You could be retargeting all over the web, and there's a whole lot more web than there is just Facebook and Instagram. So, and you can even retarget on YouTube. Okay, so you got your branded search and your retargeting. Those are your nets. Now you're going to do your cold traffic stuff. Okay, and this is targeting brand new people who've never met you before. And so what I like to do is I like to just have a blog post. The reason for that is you can often get a higher, I don't want to get too geeky on here, but you can have a higher CTR with a blog post than you can with a sales letter. There's only so much you can mess around. Sorry, you were saying something.
No, that's totally true. That's something we do as well. But continue.
Yeah, so you have this sexy title, and it kind of has a Trojan horse effect because it doesn't look salesy. It looks like something they would want to read, like 10 ads that made their business owners millions. I would like to read that. Or, 10 books marketing pros read, or advertising pros read, that newbies don't. These are two of my blog posts. And so we advertise these things to the cold market, and then they read them, and they're like, oh, wow, this is good stuff. And then they read at the bottom, oh, when we are researching these 10 ads, we actually research 50 of them. Enter your email, and, we'll send you a PDF with all 50.
Got it.
So now we're generating a lead. But, I'll be honest, only about 35% opt in. Pretty good for a squeeze page. Mm-hmm. But that still means 65% of the people fell off. But we have them retargeted. And later on, when they're thinking about Facebook ads, of course, they're going to be like, what was that? Ad kills or ad sales or something I was on. And they Google it. Bam! We got our branded search ads, And so it's kind of this cycle that really builds upon itself, and you start with $5 a day on one little blog post, because remember, your retargeting isn't going to spend anything until you have traffic, and your branded search isn't going to spend anything until you have branded searches. So you start $5 a day on this blog post that has an opt-in built into it, and that starts triggering the other things, and then you get another one at $5 a day and another one, and then you start bumping them up to $10 a day because you've worked on them and they're better now. And that's how you scale to, the next thing you know, you're spending $1,000 a day, and doing very well on the ROI.
Yeah. I love that strategy. I mean, it's similar to what we do now, but with, a little extra, I think you explain it better than we do.
it's very simple. It's only three steps. And I like that it sounds like you're setting up the foundation prior to, getting that cold traffic in there. You have all of your nets set in place.
Right.
With the content.
Yeah. So I'm curious, this is sort of two questions, but it's probably asking the same thing. How do you figure out what content articles to write, and how do you figure out what keywords to target with your Google cold search ads? And obviously those questions kind of overlap a little bit.
I've never found a great answer to this. there are tools you can use, but still there's a level of guessing even when you're using the tools. You know, it's kind of like, well, because this other company did this and they sell something like me, it should work, but you don't really know for sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you ever really know for sure. But what it comes down to is the better you do your market research, the better you will do at all the other steps, you know, at knowing what headlines to use, what blog posts to use, what lead magnet to use, what keywords to use, what ad copy to use. Like, if you don't take the step of really doing good market research, and I don't mean reading a couple of Amazon reviews, like, mm-hmm. that's not enough. That's good. It's a good start. But I'm talking about getting stalker level on your customers or your target customers' Facebook profiles. You know, watch them for a week. What are they saying? What are they unhappy about? You know, read their comments that they're leaving on other people's posts, not just their wall and what they're showing people, because a lot of people manufacture that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they go and they comment, you know, how they treat others in their comments and the things they talk about, that's another. Twitter, you know, there's a wealth of information you can find. You can see an entire year of somebody's conversations and interests, and so really do it, digging deep. And then the best one is, you know, do some interviews. Call people over the phone, because they will tell you, there's rabbit trails that they go off on. You ask them a couple of questions, and then, you know, they give you the answer, and then you say, well, why do you think that way, or why do you believe that, or why did you do it that way? And they go off on these long tangents where you get these juicy details about their actual inner thinking processes. That's where all the good stuff comes from. And everybody skips that step because it's boring and there's no immediate ROI from it. But man, if you really sink into that, everything just falls in line.
Yeah, and it seems like you don't need to even uncover too much. It's just enough to get initial content out there. And I'd imagine you're going to learn a lot throughout this process alone. And then from there, you know, with the leads you gather, you can then start talking to every single one of those leads if you wish, and then start honing in even more.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about Google is, I don't know what you would call it. I'm sure you have a term for it. We call them a feeder campaign, where we'll start with some real broad keywords that we point towards a piece of content. And then over time, we just look at what people searched for that led to a click. And then we just start slowly over time negative matching out the keywords that aren't relevant to what they searched, to the point where we just sort of hone in on these are the keywords that work, and we've negatived out all the keywords that don't work.
Ah, are you friends with Dan Ryan or David Klein?
How did you know? We're really good buddies with them.
I was like, you know, I never really hear people talking about that, except for like this one circle of people. But no, it's a brilliant strategy. It's some people have to look at it as an investment because it's not an immediate ROI thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right.
But it really pays off over the long term, because you get the real keywords from that. You get to pick and choose the best ones, and sometimes you find some that are just really cheap. It's a brilliant strategy. It's not one that I talk about much, because you have to be a little bit more of an advanced marketer to kind of grok the concept of how it works and why it's so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's a phenomenal thing to do.
I love that you called it. Yeah, I was going to give him credit. I was going to give Dan credit. No, you beat me to it. So.
Yeah. Dan Ryan loves getting shout outs on this show.
He just refuses to actually come on as a guest, but he listens to everything. I know he's listening now. Hey, Dan.
Well, Dan, I think, was a co-host on this episode when we brought on Mike Rhodes.
That's right.
And also on the episode where we brought on Ralph Burns. He wanted to jump on and ask them some additional questions beyond what we can ask them.
So we should invite him today. Damn it. Sorry, Dan.
So he's going to love the fact that he got some love on this episode.
That's rad, man. I love that strategy, and thanks for laying it out, because I think that is a simple way to start for anybody, like you said, newer or older in the game, you know, and for a new product, it sounds like you can probably like launch something fresh this way and even gauge interest just to grow a list and learn if there's any interest for an offer out there for that particular
Absolutely.
Niche.
Yeah.
Now, do you, just kind of some final wrap-up questions, I know we're getting tight on time here, what's your sort of tool stack? Are there any tools in your business that that you couldn't live without? Anything to help you with your ads or anything like that?
You know, I've literally, you know, in the 15 years in this game, I've tried so many CRMs, and I always come back to ActiveCampaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's the one that, you know, probably not the best for beginners, but you know, you start with something smaller. Eventually you have to switch over. And if you just went with ActiveCampaign from the beginning, you'd probably be better off.
Yeah.
So ActiveCampaign is one of my big ones. And then I also do have to let people know that I am sponsored by ActiveCampaign. Just means I have to write blog posts for them and they give me free product.
Nice.
But I love them. Like I loved them before I was sponsored.
We use them too. So yeah, we'll give them props.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Google Sheets. I'm not sponsored by Google.
One day that would be
amazing. I love Google Sheets, Zapier. We use WordPress for everything in AdSkills with Wishlist Member. Wishlist Member gets the job done. I wish they were a little bit more responsive to some new features, but I can't beat up on them. I've done very well thanks to them. So. Yeah, that's what we use, basically. You know, yeah, ActiveCampaign runs our email list. Oh, we're using PipeDrive now for our sales guys.
Yep. PipeDrive's good for sales. That's perfect. Yeah, it's gotten shout out.
But there's just so much that can be done with just WordPress, Google Sheets, and ActiveCampaign. Hmm. I mean, you could get really far with just that.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we use ActiveCampaign as well. All of our customers are on an ActiveCampaign list. I love it. We also use Drip, but Drip has shifted more and more towards being very e-com focused. So we're probably going to eventually move all of our leads over to ActiveCampaign.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like you said, some of these other ones. There's Drip, and then there's that other.
ConvertBox
is out there. They focus more on bloggers.
Oh, ConvertKit.
ConvertKit, yes.
Yeah, ConvertKit. You know, I like them, but they specialized in a different type of customer that wasn't me, and so it just lost the fit. But, I mean, I think they're great. If you're e-com, Drip is great. If you're a blogger, ConvertKit is great. You know, for me, I like ActiveCampaign because it's like business model agnostic. It doesn't matter what business model you are. You can just... I'm rambling too much about
them. No, you're good. You keep it simple, and I think that's what's so powerful with that's what it just sounds like. You're just looking at what matters the most, and that's how you can be a freaking nomad and you know, be hanging out in your car and running a badass business, man. This is super cool. Another question I'm just curious, like, and we'll give a shout out. Yeah, Matt's got a little.
Oh yeah, I've got Retargeting Recipes in my hand, the book. I keep it on my desk and refer to it. It's a super, super handy little guide to all the various retargeting strategies. And I'm sure you've even got more that you're teaching now, even since this book came out.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll link that in the show notes for Retargeting Recipes. It's Justin's book. What's another book that stands out to you? I'm sure there's a lot because you read so much, but something you just go back to often that you reference. Maybe you recommend it to business buddies. Maybe it's something about life in general. Something you recommend.
You know, the crucial book. If I had to grab one, and this is a really tough thing because there's so many books that I like, but you know, fire's in the house and I can grab one book. I only got time to grab one. I'm grabbing The Ultimate Sales Machine. That's like my Bible. I mean, if you think about what's in that book and then you look at everything I've done, like the way I do my Facebook, the way I do my blogs, my email list, like it all, it's like, oh, he was just doing chapter 3 here, and then he was doing chapter 4 here. And
man, that's a good one. Yeah,
I love it. I need to reread that one. I read that one years and years and years ago, and I, to be honest, I don't actually remember too much about it, so I need to pick that one up again.
It's been a while, yeah, Dan Kennedy. And I love the way that you framed
that. Chet Holmes, I think.
Or Chet Holmes.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of his other one. I love how you framed that thing, too. If there's a fire in the house, you're grabbing one book. All right. I think I'm going to swipe that for the next time we ask this question. That's awesome.
Cool. Well, very sweet, cool, dude. Justin. Thanks so much for spending time with us. Where do you want people to go after listening to this episode?
I want them to go check out my free YouTube videos, and I want them to Google Justin Brooks so they can find other interviews and all my social media, because I'm very adamant believer that if you find those things, you'll then want to come to adskills.com and buy stuff.
Nice. And you're going to learn a crap ton along the way, guaranteed.
Oh, man, just following you on Facebook and seeing the sort of questions you pose and the responses you get, people are going to be blown away.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Sweet, man. We'll link everything up in the show notes for everyone listening.
Okay.
And Justin, thank you for your time, man, and thank your family for us, too.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me on, guys.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
You dang right you did.
Of course you enjoyed it. What's not to enjoy?
We weren't going to publish it unless you and we're going to enjoy this.
If we don't enjoy it, we don't publish it. Therefore, we only publish the stuff we know you're going to enjoy.
We listen and read the notes as well. So
very, very true.
2 days
away. Well, you know what I want to do? I want to actually start reading some reviews of some of the people that listen to our podcast because we're getting some really cool reviews. And also, I want to kind of incentivize people to leave more reviews because then we're going to read them for you.
Hey, man. This is our shout-out section.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is going to become.
For sure.
The outro shout-out section. So, yeah. Let's do some reviews. And prior to that...
Let's talk about some of the guys that have supported us.
Yeah. And there's a couple shout-outs from our friends and some other folks that reached out to us. These two actually are our friends. They're pretty close friends of ours. And they support our show. So, you know, if you want to get more of a, like an exclusive shout out, reach out to us. We have a couple spots available occasionally. So it depends. But the first, you know, our buddy of ours, actually Steve Olsher, he's one of our masterminds. He runs a podcast called Beyond Eight Figures. And they're chatting with just amazing entrepreneurs who have either exited or they currently run a business that is above 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically grill. So they have three hosts over there, Steve Olsher, Mary Goulet, and Richie Ote. They're all buddies of ours as well, all in San Diego. And they basically grill them until they figure out their methodologies, the tactics and action steps that actually got them to accomplish that, which are what few companies would ever get to that point.
For sure. It's a great podcast. They cover a lot of ground. And, you know, the whole thing is trying to uncover what goes into creating an eight-figure business so that other businesses could sort of reverse engineer the success. Yeah. So, amazing podcast. That's Steve Olsher's Beyond Eight Figures podcast. Definitely go check it out on Apple Podcasts and everywhere where you listen to your favorite shows.
You're going to like it. It's very similar to this one with different approaches. So, I think if you're a fan of this, you're going to love his show, Beyond Eight Figures.
And then our other supporter for this episode is our good buddy Casey Zeman's Easy Webinar.
Bam! And both these guys have actually been on our show too, Steve and Casey.
Yeah.
So if you like them, you can even check out an episode too.
Yeah. So check out easywebinar.com/hustle because Casey put together a 20% off deal for listeners of Hustle and Flowchart. So easywebinar.com/hustle. Now, Easy Webinar is kind of a webinar tool, but it has live webinars. It's got automated webinars. It's got kind of hybrid webinars. It's got all sorts of, you know, social media functionality. It's got it's pretty much like the only webinar platform you would ever need. It's got everything all in a single platform. A lot of the other platforms, you got to buy one product to go live and one product to go automated and one product if you want high. And this one is just, you know, you get Easy Webinar, you're covered. You got it all. So if you want Easy Webinar, get it for 20% off. Go to easywebinar.com/hustle. And again, I just want to thank our partners and our supporters on this show, Casey and Steve. We love you guys. Let's go talk about some of these cool reviews we're getting.
Yeah, let's get into them.
I got another review. I got a review, not another review. Another review from last week's episode.
Well, we've been getting like loads of emails and loads of people asking us, how do you pick these reviews?
Yeah.
So what's our process, Matt?
Our process? I go to a tool called Chartable.com, which aggregates all of our reviews from every country. So whether no matter what iTunes you wrote it into, we see it there.
And platform, right? Or is it just iTunes?
No, I think it might just be iTunes, but I'm not 100% on that. But anyway, I go and I use my little scrolly wheel on my mouse and I just scroll down and then I stop real quick and I go that review. And
it's like as a kid, I always just spin the globe. I'm like, I want to go there.
Exactly.
And then we land in the middle of a desert in like Africa or something. I'm like, I don't have enough water or a camel to survive in that. I don't want to go there.
Or most likely you spin it and you're like, the Atlantic Ocean, crap.
I'm screwed again. So that's kind of like with our reviews, we could land on a one star.
We have
with our globe spinning. Luckily, we only have one of those.
Yeah.
Somehow we found that one.
Yep.
No, it's because we actually picked that one.
It's because the earth is flat, Joe.
Whoa. All right, we're going there.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
All right, so what do we got today?
All right, so this review's title, five-star review, is Amazing Content from Two Amazing Guys.
Aww.
I'm absolutely loving the Hustle Ampersand Flowchart podcast. Sorry, our app changes the, you know, the and symbol to like this weird ampersand.
You just had to say it.
So I just had to say it out loud. I'm absolutely loving Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Matt and Joe have a great way of engaging with their audience. I find it super easy to learn techniques and strategies from them to implement. I'm also an Evergreen Profits Letter subscriber. Love how much value and content they share. Everything they share is actionable, simple, and their great personalities shine through. I've already learned some great tips from just the first three episodes of this podcast. I probably should have mentioned this one is going way back a bit.
That is true.
This is
a
review from the early days of the podcast. But you know what?
Hey.
We want to show love to the people that left reviews early, too.
Yeah, man. We have a lot of loyal folks that have stuck around since the beginning, which we can't thank you enough. Matt, I was actually disappointed when you're reading this review because who is this actually that left the review?
It was El Musto. I think her name's Leia or Leah Musto.
Possibly. Yeah. Sounds familiar. So she used a lot of ampersands, and I thought Matt was actually going to say that every single time, but he didn't. He kind of let me down.
Yeah, I think it might be this app changed the and symbol to like this little like...
if she wrote that, that would be very
That
weird.
Would be very odd.
But yeah, no, that was an amazing review. Thank you, Leah. I believe it's Leah or Leah. Yeah, good reviews all around. We love this stuff. Please keep them coming and, you know, leave a review. Honest reviews are great. Don't have to be five stars, but we appreciate the five stars when we do our glove spinning so we can read you out. So thank you. We love you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.